Lord, we bless you. Lord, thank you as we look into your word. Thank you for guiding us through. Thank you, Lord, that as you speak through us, you touch our lives, Lord. Lord, our eyes are on you, and we bless you. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power and mind, counsel and fear of God. Thank you for the revelation knowledge of your glory. Thank you, Lord of glory, that we drink more and more of your spirit in this place. For the kingdom of God is of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for flooding our lives once more with your righteousness, with your peace, with your joy. Thank you, Lord of glory, for your life and life more in abundance. Thank you for your grace in abundance, flooding every one of us in this place and every household in this church. Lord, we give all the glory for great and mighty things and new beginnings for us, oh Lord. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And everyone says amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And please let's open once more to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 24 to 25. Remember, we were looking at how to contend for the faith and how it applies to our day-to-day living, to our day-to-day activities, especially when the troubles of life comes against us all. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And we know that the word of God is the word of blessing, is the great and precious mighty things given to you and I as believers. The day we accepted Christ, we received not only the Spirit of God, but also the Word of God. Remember, God and His Word are one and same. And He gave us His glory. And His glory is filled with His Word. It's filled with truth. And is filled with power. And so the Jesus given to you and I is our blessings. He's the kingdom. He's the word of the blessing. And so how can we contend? He's also the faith. Remember, the Bible is also called the word of faith. And so how do we contend for the word of faith, or how do we contend for our blessings? How do we contend for our possessions already given to us? Remember, the enemy knows that we are already blessed. Everything, thanks be to God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, at the appointed time of life, all the blessings given to us as we receive them will be made manifest. But there's an enemy who does not want us to receive our blessings. He cannot stop God from giving us, for God has already given to you and I. But he can stop you and I from receiving what rightly belongs to us. He can stop you and I from receiving the will of God for our lives, the plans of God for our lives at every stage, if we allow him. And that's why we have to contend for our blessings. We have to contend for the faith. Please let's read Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 24 to 25 again. Please let's go. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Amen. One thing is this, we are sons of God in Christ Jesus. And so as the devils trembled for Christ, so are they trembling for us. But we, who they are trembling for, we don't know. We give God all the glory that now we are knowing that the kingdom of darkness, they are in dread of us, and that they fear you and I, and they tremble in anguish because of us, because we are sons of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 25 says, rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand. Not that I will give. I have given. He's already given. Everything, all things that pertains to life and godliness is already given to us by the power of God, says 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4. So all these things are already given to us. Now look at, begin to possess it, contend with him in battle. Sion there is representative of the devil. Begin to contend with him and possess your possession, which is already given to you and I. Let's open to Isaiah chapter 49 and let's zero down to verses 25 and 26. We thank God that the battle is always the Lord. If he says rise up, all he wants is a faith contact. You believing that yes, the blessing is already yours. It belongs to you. You believing and receiving by faith. And then keep believing, keep receiving. Don't let go of your blessing, no matter what the enemy throws at you. Don't let go of your blessing. That is what the Lord is saying. Faith. Faith is you possessing what rightly belongs to you. And remember, the scripture is quite clear. Upon Mount Zion, there is deliverance and holiness. The house of Jacob possesses their possessions. Who is set upon Mount Zion? It is Jesus Christ. Remember Psalm 2, he says, sit at my right hand. So the Son of God is set upon his Father for you and I to come unto him and possess our possessions by faith, what is already given to us. We possess by faith. We receive by faith. Now, please let's read Isaiah chapter 49, verses 25 and 26. Please let's go. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Amen. See a key. I will contend with him that contended with thee. We have no might against the devil. Only Jesus, only God can handle the enemy of our soul. And in fact, he has already handled him. He made an open show of all the principalities and powers, disarming them. And so he has the ability to fight for us. All we have to do is be in faith and continue to be in faith. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this word of God is the word of our blessing. It's the word of our possession. If we don't know what is already given to us, how can we receive it? Because when we know what is already given to us and we believe by faith, we receive by that faith that enables us to believe. Believing the word of our possession is the key. Believing. How can we believe the things already given to us if we don't know them? For it is what we know that we believe by faith. And so again, you can see victory or success in God's kingdom is left to you and I. God has already done it. He has already given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness. It is now left for you and I to know the things that is given to us in His glory and virtue, and by His glory and virtue, which is His power. We have to know so that we believe, and we continue to believe by faith, and never letting go. Never letting go is the key. Please let's read Jude 1 chapter 3. Jude 1 chapter 3. We will see the same thing there. To contend for the faith is what the Lord is talking about. And faith, which is the word of faith, to contend for the word of faith. The word of faith is the word of our blessings, our possessions. It has inside all the divine plans and purposes and will of God for every one of us individually and collectively as sons of God. It is the word of blessing, truth from Genesis to Revelations. That is the word of our blessings. And I tell you, when we start to look into the word of God and believe, as we know them, believe by faith, and keep believing, never stopping to believe, then we will possess, we will receive. It will be made manifest at God's own time. Please let's read Jude 1 verse 3. Please let's go. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See a key, earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. And so how do we earnestly contend for the faith? And why do we need to earnestly contend for the faith? Please let's open to Revelations chapter 12 and let's zero down to verse 13. We will see that the enemy fights against the word of God in our lives, the word of blessing. He will do all things to prevent us from knowing the word of our blessings, the truth. He will do all things to prevent us from holding on to the word of our blessings, even when we know them and we believe by faith. He will want us to let go of the truth. He will want us to not obey the word of God. He will want us not to speak the word of God. He will want us not to come to church to hear the word of God. He will want us to hear wrong things, to believe all the garbage out there, because he knows once we don't hold on to truth, there's nothing we can receive. We won't receive God's blessings, God's plans. We won't receive God's divine intervention. We won't receive everything that he has given to us, all the spiritual blessings will not be made manifest in our lives because we have let go of the word of God. We have not bothered to know the truth. And when we knew it, we let go of the word of God at every slightest distraction. Please let's read Revelations chapter 12, verse 17. Please let's go. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. See a key. He's warring against those that keep the word of God. He's warring against those that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Those who keep the word of God is not keeping the Bible on the shelf. No. It is obeying the word of God. And those who have the testimony of Jesus are those who have the word in their heart. The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart, even the word we preach. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. So those who have the word in their heart, those who are obeying God, those who are speaking the word of God, the enemy is warring so that he wants to take away the word, because he knows something. That once you have the word of God and you keep holding on to the word of God, even in the midst of the troubles of life, you will receive help. You will receive divine breakthroughs, intervention. Even if no trouble of life, if you are holding on to the word of God, if you are obeying God, you keep looking into the word of life, growing in faith, not letting go, steadfast. He knows all the will of God will come to pass in your life. He knows breakthroughs, open doors will come upon you because you keep looking into the word of God steadfastly, holding on to truth, growing in truth. The word of God is in your heart, flowing out of your mouth. You're obeying God. You keep going to church. You keep looking into the word of God. He knows that surely, certainly, God's will, God's plans will come to pass in your life. He knows you will be like one planted by the rivers of living waters, bringing forth divine fruits every month, every season. No matter the troubles of life, you will never run dry because you are planted by the rivers of living waters. He knows that. And so he attempts to always take away the word of God from you and I. He brings distractions, wrong doctrines. He will bring quarrels, fights, everything. Simply get towards the word of God. He will bring complaints simply to distract. And of course, we all know Matthew chapter 4, the parable of the sower. We all know the one on the roadside, Satan came and took the seed. The seed, the word of God is the seed. And I tell you, that seed is our blessing. The word of God is our blessing. We all know the seed sown on the wayside, the enemy came and stole it. And of course, the one sowed among the thorns and on hard ground, everything, the word of God removed, not allowed to grow because the enemy put hard stones and stony thorns into that heart. All the troubles of life, they are the works of the enemy, but they allowed it into the sheep of their lives. They allowed it into their hearts. But look at the one sowed on good soil. The ones who focused on the word of God, who were reading it at home too, they come to church, the one with their with a sincere heart to know God, to know truth for self. The Bible says, please let's zero down to verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. And so you see the difference. The stones in the stony ground represents wrong things, lies. The thorns, distractions in this life, which they allowed into their heart. But those with the right heart looking into the word of God, they heard and they kept hearing and kept receiving. Those who receive, they are the ones who believe by faith. Receive, believe by faith. In agreement, that's faith, believe of faith. Receiving the word of God is when you believe. You hear, and you believe by faith. You have received it into your heart. Into your heart. And so again, we see the enemy's war for you not to believe the word and receive it into your heart. The enemy's war for you not to speak the word of God. For you not to obey the word of God. And then when you start to receive, when you start to speak, when you start to believe, he wants you to stop. And so he brings the troubles of life. He wants you to stop speaking the word of God. He wants you to stop obeying the word of God. He wants you to stop looking into the word of God. All these things we have to understand, because he knows one key. Please let's open to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Please let's read it together. Please let's go. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Please let's go again. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. See a key. Our confidence, our belief, what we're saying. And I tell you, what we're saying is the word of God. What we're doing is what we're saying of the word of God. What we believe is what we're saying. And so you can see when we continue to say, when we continue to speak, when we continue to do the word of God, we partake of Christ. All the blessings in him already given to us, we receive. We partake of Christ. When we maintain our profession, our confession, remember the widowed woman in Luke 18 kept going, never stopped. She kept praying, praying the word of God, maintaining the profession, the confession of faith. So you can see, when we maintain steadfastly unto the very end what we're saying, is it blessing? You want breakthrough? You want healing? Keep confessing, professing the word of healing, the words of breakthroughs. Keep looking into the word of God. Keep obeying God. Keep speaking. Keep believing. Then you partake the Healing and health will flow. Breakthroughs will flow. For when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? He has to find you still confessing. He has to find you still believing. He has to find you still obeying the word of God. And so, now we understand why the enemy will tell us believers lies that grace covers sin. We know such a person will not receive. Now we know why the enemy will bring wrong doctrines. For he knows lies. Lies will not receive anything from Christ. Please let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's zero down to verse 12. Please let's go. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now you can see the good profession. In other words, the word of God is good, isn't it? For only God is good. And so, speaking the word of God, maintain, keep speaking. That is the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. In other words, the grace of life, the blessings of God, how to lay hold on it. In every area of life, is always fighting the good fight of faith. The enemy will bring all sorts of things against the soul. Remember, the soul is not yet born again. Only the spirit man. So the inner man readily obeys God and believes God. But the soul is contrary. So the enemy will be changing things in the physical to convince the soul that you are not healed, that you cannot get breakthroughs. For example, Christ says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed and made whole. And you have this pain in your body. The enemy is using it to convince your soul that, oh, there's trouble. You are not yet healed. The enemy is using that pain to war against the word of God, which says you are healed and made whole. And so the pain now may even spread all over, progressing. The enemy is trying to convince the soul that is not born again that surely you are not healed. You can't be healed. But you have to keep looking into the word of God. And then you also can ask God for grace and say, Lord, I've chosen to believe that I'm healed. Your word, help thou my unbelief. Help me to believe. And then you can also ask God for grace to control your soul. You just continue to study the word and ask God for grace. Use scripture. When I cried out unto you, you strengthened my soul with strength. And so you will receive, Lord, I thank you for peace in my soul regarding this situation. Lord, I thank you for peace. Not only in my soul, but in my heart too. And I tell you, God will do it for you and I. And continue to look into the word of God daily. And because you have asked, as you continue to look into the word of God daily, the strength that you are given will increase. Because the moment you ask, he has given you strength. And so as you continue to study the word and you come to church, that strength for the soul will increase and you will find out that you are going through all the problems of life, you are not worried. Because God will keep in perfect peace they whose mind are stayed on Him, because they trust in Him. In Jehovah is our what? Everlasting strength. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. So in the midst of trouble, no matter the antics the enemy is doing, trying to convince all your physical senses against the word of God, I tell you, continue to look into the word of God. Make up your mind, I have chosen to believe the word of God. Note one thing, the works of the soul, none of us can stop it. Only the strength of God. And that is why we need to ask Him. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it shall be open unto you. To ask for grace to give the soul rest or peace is a good thing, because you have chosen to believe the word of God. And so pray, Lord, I believe I'm healed. Lord, I have chosen to believe you. Help thou my unbelief. Help my soul. Help my soul to be at rest concerning this situation. And you continue to study the word of God. And I tell you, after some time you will see the manifestation of peace in your mind. No matter the antics of the enemy, even if that trouble is jumping up and down in front of you, your mind will be at rest. Because the peace of God that passeth all understanding is guiding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. God is supplying His soul and His power to the soul, stopping the soul from doing His work of unbelief, doubt, fear, wavering, grieving, sorrow, and everything. His grace is what? Sufficient for you and I. And so we see how to contend. Keep looking into the word of God. We understand the part of us that the enemy can, walk through, the soul. But we have the power of God to handle the soul when we continue in the word of God daily, and we come to church to hear the word of God, and we also ask. The Lord loves to help us. The Lord loves to strengthen you and I. Please let's open to Philippians chapter 4. And please also write Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 to 4, and also verse 8 and 9. We'll be looking at verse 12 there. But let's first look at Philippians chapter 4. Let's take it from verse 6 to 9. Please let's go. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Let's pause there for a while. And so, this is where, if we have prayed the prayer of faith, tabling our request before Him, we will know that He has already answered you and I concerning that trouble. And also ask for peace of mind, grace to control the mind in the midst of that trouble. So not only do we table the problems of life to our God, we also ask for peace in that situation, rest of mind in that situation. For the enemy will play havoc with the soul, with the mind. And so very good for us, is a good thing for us to ask for grace of mind, peace of mind, rest of soul. Grace for the soul to be at rest. Peace of mind in that trouble. Please let's read verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See a key? In the midst of troubles of life, the rest, the peace of mind and heart is available. Let's start asking Him for rest in the troubles of life. Peace in the troubles of life. Another word for peace is the rest. The rest Jesus promised us. In all the troubles of life, let's start to enjoy it. There's a rest for the sons of God, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 4 made mention. It is what the Lord is talking about, the peace. No matter the troubles of life, you have that rest for your soul. You have that peace for your soul. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it shall be open unto you. There remaineth a rest for the children of God in every troubles of life. In day-to-day troubles of life, no matter the situation, there is rest, peace for your soul. Ask. And we all know, when we continue to study the Word of God, we increase in the knowledge of God by faith, isn't it? We increase in the knowledge of God, and we believe what we are knowing and increasing in His knowledge. When we are increasing in the knowledge of God, or when faith is increasing in our lives, let us understand that the grace, the strength, the power of God, the might of God is increasing in our lives. When we ask God for things and we commit it into His hands, don't fold your hands. You have to continue to study the Word of God and come to church. And when you continue to do that, all the divine, the peace will increase. The peace He has given you and I will increase and continue to increase. And I tell you, the manifestation of that peace also is joy. You will start to see yourself rejoicing even in the midst of troubles of life. And so, we see a great key. The rest is available for us in every situation on the face of the earth. There remaineth a rest for the children of God. We give God all the glory. Let's look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, what we have already spoken, continue to meditate, continue to hear the word, read the word. The word of God is the only thing that fulfills all what verse 8 says. The word of God is true, isn't it? The word of God is the good report, is the good news. Jesus is the good report. The word of God is pure. The word of God is also honest and just. The word of God is also filled with power and is the good news that is declaring the praise of God, what God has done in all realms. And so you can see we cannot do without, even in the midst of the crisis of life, we continue to look into the word of God and we come to church. Don't forsake the assembling together of the saints and keep looking into the word of God. I tell you, you have rest, you have peace in your heart and your mind, and that peace will flow. No matter the crisis, you have peace, you have rest, because you have asked and you keep looking into the word of God. Verse 9 says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Please underline that, do. In other words, keep obeying the word of God. Paul was obeying God. Keep obeying the word of God. It's not follow man as, follow the leader. The leader is Christ. Do the word of God. Paul himself was obeying God. Paul himself was saying to you and I that in all his troubles, he had grace of God. He had the grace of God. His grace is what? Sufficient for him. For in his weakness is the power of God made manifest. We are weak against all the troubles of life. But how we can get that help is what the Lord is teaching us through Paul. And so again, what you have, those things which you have both learned, we are learning the word of God. And receive, we have received the word of God, and heard and seen. And then he himself, all those things you've learned and heard and learned, you are seeing me do. So you too do. And the God of peace, please underline that, see? And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of rest in all the troubles of life shall be with you and I. We will enjoy the rest, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, if we continue to do these things. And so we see a great key. We see a great key. It is very important for us to understand all these things. For when we continue, guess what will happen? He will come in on the scene. He will find faith. And he will turn things around. We have to understand that in the troubles of life, the Holy Spirit is available to sustain, to maintain, to uphold us, to keep us from falling. And even if we fall, he will raise us up. When things happen, of course, we will grieve. Our soul will be sorrowful. There is pressure on the mind. And that is where the Holy Spirit comes in. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will what? Raise up a standard, because your strength is not small. Because you've been reading the Bible, you've been coming to church, you've been looking into the word of life. As you have been receiving life, so have you been receiving strength. The Holy Spirit has been at work in your life. You've not halted the work of the Spirit of God. And so to the faithful, God is what? Faithful. And so in the time of the troubles of life, he will faithfully sustain you. If you fall on hearing a bad news, he will lift you up. He will encourage your soul. He will supply strength. He will multiply to you the strength that you have been sowing, the strength of life, the word of life that you have been sowing into your spirit. It is the time of harvest. He will increase his strength. He will increase his presence. He will help you through the troubles of life. He will take you through. Please let's open to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 12. So it is you who will determine whether you possess your possession, whether you receive God's plan, God's will, God's favor, God's healing and health, God's divine breakthrough. It is up to you. Are you holding fast unto the word of blessing? Or you have let go of the word of God and you are seeking help in strange places? And you think God will help you? No, the Bible is quite clear. Please let's read Isaiah chapter 26. Let's zero down to verse 12. Please let's go. Lord, thou will ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all your works in us. Please let's go again. Lord, thou will ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. See that God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so the work of peace of mind and peace of the heart, or rest for the mind and soul, is the work of God. Is the work of God. And so even in the times of troubles of life, the peace, the rest of God is available for you and I. We have to understand all these things. Let's give him all the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please let's open to 1 Peter. We have help in times of trouble. He will not let us go, but we have to continue in the word of God. The enemy will bring things designed to make us to let go of the word of God. He wants us not to obey the word of God. He wants us not to believe the word of God. He wants us not to speak the word of God. He wants to make us to disobey. He wants to make us to disbelieve the word of God. And he wants to make us to speak the troubles of life that he brings against us. He wants us to speak wrong things. The lying things that are of him is what he wants us to speak. So you have to understand all these things. And that is why he bringing the things, the soul is not born again. The soul will go into doubt, unbelief, wavering, fear, sorrow, grief, and all sorts of things. It is only the power of God that can control the soul. And that is why Jesus is also the power and the wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace, is the Spirit of Christ. He is in us to help us. That is the standard that he will raise up. He will remind us of the word of God. And if we choose that, yeah, that's it. And then he will help us to speak it. And then he will strengthen our soul in the midst of trouble. But all we have to do is continue steadfast, making that choice that no matter the troubles of life, you will keep, and I will keep obeying God. We will not let go of the word of God. We will continue to speak the word of God. Our confession will not change to the troubles of life. It is the word of God, the word of blessing, that we will continue to pray and speak, and those words will get us out of the troubles of life. Amen. Are we in 1 Peter chapter 5? Please let's take it from verse 7 to verse 10. Please let's go. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See a key. Resist. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, keep holding on to the word of God. Keep holding on to your testimony. The word of God, the word of Jesus. Keep hoping in him to sort you out. Keep holding on. Keep obeying him. Keep confessing the word of God. Keep coming to church. Keep looking into the word of God daily. Keep living by faith. To live by faith, you speak the word of faith that you believe by faith. You pray the word of faith. You do the word of faith. Keep living by faith. The just shall live by faith, no matter the troubles of life. Keep looking into the word of God. And so again, that's how to resist the enemy. No one has the power to say, enemy, depart from so. No, forget it. You continue to live by faith, and that is how to resist him. Keep speaking the word of God. Keep looking into the word of God. Keep believing. Keep praying the word of God. Keep obeying the word of God. Keep speaking the word of God. And so you can see that many are the afflictions of the righteous. So knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 9. But look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, you see, all grace. All, not some. God is able to make all grace available unto you and I, so that we're thoroughly equipped unto every good work. His grace is available for the soul, so that you will not worry. I will not worry. His grace is available for our spirit, so that we will not be downcast in our heart. His grace is available for us so that we will not think there's no way. No, his grace is available for us to take our soul and fasten it onto his word. God will make way where there seems to be no way. His grace, his power is available to strengthen our soul unto peace, and to strengthen our soul unto patience, patiently waiting for him to intervene, patiently waiting for the manifestation of healing. He will strengthen our soul. He will strengthen our heart unto joy, knowing that it be already. And so again, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. You see, this suffering here is the initial reaction of the soul to a sudden bad news. You will want to cry, or you will cry, you will be sorrowful, you will grieve for a while, but look what happens. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. In other words, the power of God now takes over. You will stop grieving. You will stop mourning. You will stop sorrowing. The pain goes away by the power of God. In fact, please let's turn to the same 1 Peter chapter 1. You will see the same thing there. You have to understand, if you are not enjoying the power of God from the word of God before the troubles of life, at the onset of troubles of life, your strength is small. Nothing the Holy Spirit can do. So what you can now do is, in the midst of that trouble, you have to start now developing your own strength. You have to start. What you should have done before the trouble, you have to now start in the midst of trouble. Of course, it is hard, but once you have purpose in your heart that I will now start to look into the word of God, after some time, His grace will take over. He's a merciful God. When He sees you diligently doing it, He takes over. Please, let's look at 4 Peter chapter 1, and you will see, let's take it from verse 3 to verse 10. Okay, I will encourage you to read that at home, but let's zero down to verse 5 to verse 10. Okay, let's go. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you receive with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. See a great key, the peace of mind. It has been prophesied that we will have grace to our soul. In the midst of the troubles of life, we will have grace in abundance for the soul. Look at verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in what? Heaviness through manifold temptation. The enemy brings afflictions of life to tempt us to let go of the word of God. He brings the afflictions of life to tempt us not to believe God anymore. But look at it. Those things, the afflictions of life, they will produce heaviness, sorrow, grieving. But I tell you, if you have been doing your homework, looking into the word of life, that grace will take over. The Holy Spirit is our crisis manager. He will sustain us in times of trouble. He said he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, he will never fail us. But you have to be enjoying him before the afflictions of life comes. Look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Fire, the troubles of life, they are the fires of life, isn't it? might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Son of Man will come in on the scene of our lives to put an end to all the troubles. But he has to find faith. He has to find faith. Verse 8 says, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing. Please underline that. Still believing in the midst of the troubles of life. Yet believing, you receive with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. In other words, power is supplied to your souls in the midst of the troubles of life. That power is your strong consolation. It will join your soul to the word of God, stabilizing your soul. You will not doubt. You will not waver. You will not go into unbelief in the midst of the troubles of life. Verse 9 again, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You can see it is that soul the enemy walks through. And God had already provided salvation, his strength. Verse 10 says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, the grace in Christ. We've read Isaiah chapter 26, verse 12, the peace, the rest of Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 speaks of rest, peace, in the midst of the troubles of life. And so again, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of that, of the grace that should come unto you. The soul being at peace. The soul being at peace. Please let's open to Hebrews chapter 4 and you will see again the rest, the peace. Hebrews chapter 4. The rest and peace in Christ is available in the midst of troubles of life. Hebrews chapter 4. Please let's read verse 8 and 10. Verse 8 to 10. Please let's go. For if Jesus hath given them rest, then will he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Amen. I tell you, a restless soul, a soul not at rest, will be going all over the place. We'll be running helter-skelter. We'll be doing all sorts of things in the flesh, trying to solve problems. But a soul at rest by the grace of God will wait patiently, hoping, knowing that God will sort it out, that the Son of Man will come and put to naught all the troubles of life and replace it with his will. And so that soul will cease from his work. All the works of the flesh, they're under the control of the soul that is not renewed. A soul without the power of God will be going helter-skelter in time of trouble, running from pillar to post, rather than run to Christ. Let's give him all the glory. Any question on what we shared? Anyway, if you can ask after the service, you can please ask me. Amen. Amen. And so let's give him all the glory. Let's thank him for his word. Let's give him all the glory. Thank him for his word. He has spoken to us. He has open the eyes of our understanding, and we give him all the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you for that rest you have purposed for us to have at all times on the face of the earth. The rest of Christ, the peace that passeth all understanding. You have promised us to guide our heart and our soul with your rest, with your grace of peace. You have promised that our soul will be stable. We will be asleep in the midst of trouble, just as you were asleep in that boat in the midst of the storms. You have said you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you will never fail us. Lord of Glory, we are willing to enter into your rest. Help us, Lord. No matter the situation of life, Lord of Glory, we receive your rest, Lord. We thank you for your rest. Every one of us in this church, all of us in your body, we receive your rest. No matter the news round about us, no matter what we're seeing, no matter what we're in, Lord of Glory, we ask and we receive rest in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for rest. Rest, rest in the name of Jesus. Peace, peace in the name of Jesus. For we know you always work out all things together for good to us that love you and are called according to your plans and purpose. Thank you, Lord of Glory, for grace, for we, your sons, to number our days so that we apply our hearts unto wisdom. We keep looking into your word daily. Even if it's one verse, to keep looking, to keep looking, to remain steadfast, not letting go of your word by your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord of Glory, that we always pour out our hearts to you, Lord. We always cry out to you. Grant us that grace. We've made a choice that we always tell you every situation, and that we will keep receiving your grace for peace in every situation of life. And so let's use this few minutes, pour out your heart to him. You don't have to say it loudly. He's with you. He hears you. All those issues of life, say it to him. He's all ears. Ask him. In the name of Jesus, he knows all things. Even before that trouble came your way, he knew all about it. He knew it will come your way. And so, lay them before him. He wants to take over. He wants to give you rest. He wants to give you peace. Pour out your heart to him. Ask him for help. Ask him for guardians. Ask him to lead you in the midst of that trouble. Ask him to take over. For we have no might in ourselves. We cannot help ourselves. But he is God Almighty. His name is Jesus. And he is the same Spirit. He is dwelling on the inside of you and I. The Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Ask him. Ask him to take over every aspect of your life. Tell him you have finished all your struggles. Now you want him to take over. You know his grace is sufficient for you. Tell him you know he has promised you rest and he has given you rest. Now you receive that rest in every situation. And that your eyes are upon him. And tell him you know he will never fail you. He will never forsake you. He has not left you. And tell him that you know he cares for you and that he will work everything out for your good because you love him and you are called by him, for you belong to him in Christ Jesus. And start thanking him now for answered prayers. Thank him for peace in your heart and your soul. Thank him for peace in your home, peace in everything. Thank him for his grace in abundance. Thank him. He will make way where there seems to be no way. Rivers in the desert will you see. He has taken over because you have handed over all things into his hands. Let's give him all the glory. We have peace, peace, peace like a river. Even in that situation. Let's give him all the glory. Let's thank him. Thank him right now. Thank him. Thank him. Lord, we bless you. Thank him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.